Welcome to Growth Uncut, a podcast that interviews different people from around the world to share their views on personal growth. We feel passionately about connecting communities and raising awareness around social justice, humanity, and relationships. And today I'm joined by lots of lovely people who are going to talk to us and you about a really exciting project that we delivered, some research around hope within the context of probation. So I'm going to just do a few introductions in terms of the panel that we've got here, and then we'll talk to you a little bit about the project and focusing, I guess, on the benefits of lived experience researchers within this work, and I guess what we learn along the way in terms of our reflections and hopes for the future. So if I start off with Cam, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, my name's Cam Stevens. I am a senior digital consultant for Penal Reform Solutions and Grow Transform Belong.
Lovely. And Adam?
I'm Adam, and I'm a lived experience consultant for Penal Reform Solutions.
Lovely. Anita?
Hello, I'm Anita Stockley. I've worked in the charity sector in criminal justice for over 30 years, now an independent consultant, moving away from working at the Howard League and into a new CIC, which will be launched shortly, called Justice Futures.
Wonderful. And Steve?
Hi, I'm Steve Farrell. I'm a professor of criminology in the School of Sociology and Social Policy at the University of Nottingham. And I've been studying the processes by which people leave crime behind, really, since the very ni early 1990s.
Brilliant. And I am Sarah Lewis, and I am the director of Penal Reform Solutions and Grow, Transform, Belong, but also have worked within probation. So I guess I've got a little bit of lived experience there. So let's start off then. And Steve, can you just tell us a little bit about the project? How it came about and what it kind of entailed?
So for a long time now, the one of the things that I've been interested in is the role of hope and other emotions more generally in processes of transformation, i.e. people leaving behind involvement in crime and involvement in drug and alcohol. And I had a couple of conversations with Anita, and Anita said, Jake's interested in doing something about this. There doesn't seem to be much on hope. And we had got some data on hope from the longitudinal project that I'd run. And so I met up with Jake, because he and I live in the same city, and we started to knock some ideas around. And one of the things that we discussed as a kind of a potential methodology was the idea of a walking group. And then it kind of occurred to us that just over the hills from Sheffield, where we both live, is a town, or rather a small village called Hope. And so we had this kind of idea that not only would we hold walking groups and talk to people about what hope meant to them in processes of reform, but also that we would walk with them to hope as a kind of metaphor for the conversation. So we did that when the weather was good and lovely, and that was all very nice, and that was very insightful for us about working out the best words to use to ask people about that kind of a concept. Because although hope is one of those things that lots of people talk about, we wanted to make sure that everybody understood it in the same way and there weren't nuances that we were missing. So the aim really of the project more generally beyond that was then to take some of those insights and to interview people involved in the criminal justice system or on the fringes of the criminal justice system as well, and to ask them for their experiences and insights into the extent to which the probation service, as it currently operates, is able to instill hope in people's lives. And then also to support them achieve those hopes over time. And that really was the main focus of the research project. The project was funded by Research England in 2022 under what was called a participatory research funding call, administered by the Institute for Policy and Engagement at the University of Nottingham. We were really, really lucky to work with yourself and your colleagues at Penal Reform Solutions, because that brought a tremendous degree of insight from the lived experience. The lived experience communities being both those people who had worked to try and deliver probation services, which is a lived experience in its own right, but also those people who had been the recipients of those attempts to help them.
That's absolutely
Okay.
great, and I think that sets the context really well. And I think we got an awful lot from it, just in terms of, I guess, coming together, wasn't it? Coming together to talk about the what we were trying to achieve from the research. And I think for us, it was really about to magnify the importance of lived experience. And I know that Anita, you are really passionate about it as well. Why are you passionate about it, Anita? What is it about having people with lived experience on a research team? What do you feel it's brought from your experiences?
It was definitely one of the key factors when Jake Phillips and Steve and I actually started talking about this, because we come from a very particular perspective. And it's always been in my practice in the third sector to try and get a 360 degree look at an issue. Not always achieved it for various reasons, but I've always been really keen to make sure it's just not a top-down approach, it's sideways and bottom-up, and that is part of it. So not only am I really wanting to include really participatory methods, which I think this is, peer researchers, but also creativity and thinking about how do we do things differently to actually understand issues, because we get stuck now. We think we know answers. We might know answers, but if we do, we're not communicating them well. So how are we actually going to switch things up and think differently, but also get buy-in across the piece? Because there's no point us doing a lovely, lovely piece of research that maybe probation service listen to if people who are subject to the probation services practices think, what the hell? So it is about how do we achieve effective change? And too often the key people are missed out. And that's been something I've been sort of gradually chipping away at in over my time. And I think this project brought it together wonderfully, because the walking methodology at the start was really underpinning. We didn't go out with questions that we knew we wanted to ask. They evolved, and I think that's important. And that's sort of set the tone for the whole piece. And I know the work that Adam and Cams has been doing, interviewing, has brought a real different quality to the findings that we've come across. I think we've all seen that when we've been, often we do get involved in research projects that are very quite, which have been, I mean, it's less the norm now, but have been that sort of straight social science model of interviewing. You are the academic going out there and interviewing all the professional. And I think that this is really ingrained why, for me, why this is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you say, for me, it's about enriching, and it's about making sure that our work is really meaningful, and it does have an impact, and people do listen. I'm going to turn to our researchers now, and just it would be really great to reflect a little bit on your experiences, how you found it in terms of interviewing, I guess, people who were on probation, having experienced probation yourselves, but also how you experienced, I guess, doing those interviews with practitioners, who again you've had experience of in terms of your life. So Cam, let's start with you. How did you find the interviewing process? How did you find being a researcher on this project?
I found it really empowering. I feel that when I was interviewing practitioners, it gave me a sense of understanding from their perspective, and it also made me empathize with them a lot more in terms of the challenges that they face and why I guess certain decisions are made in terms of the pressures of the job, the time frames that they have, and what making mistakes looks like in the service. And in terms of, I guess, the people with lived experience, I feel that they opened up a lot more to me because they knew that I had walked that road as well. And I think they were a lot more honest, and they saw that I was doing it because I cared, and it wasn't just because of I've got this piece of research to do, and I want to get a specific set of findings. It was a really deep dive into their experiences and what it felt like going through that system for them. So yeah.
Did you find any aspects of the research difficult, Cam?
I think for me, what was difficult for me was seeing the sadness. I'm quite an emotional person myself. So when I'm seeing people that were really quite distressed and yeah, scared of making mistakes and not being able to make the impact that they were desperate to make. In the service, I think that was really quite poignant for me, and it kind of just opened up my eyes to the difficulties in the sector and some of the like the red tape or the blockers to making a meaningful impact within the system.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember you coming away from one particular interview with a practitioner, and I think it was, yeah, just in terms of that level of maybe hopelessness that was being conveyed. I guess that's a side that you maybe haven't seen previously, in terms of your experience, because you've been on the receiving end of it, I guess. So I think that really stood out for me in terms of not only what we can learn from the process of getting people with lived experience in research, but also what learning we can have as individuals. What about for you, Adam? What about for you in terms of your experience?
No, it was very insightful. I think there was a lot of power of using my lived experience. I think the main thing was empathy, where I could understand the interview's answers a lot better, which also meant that I could then give better follow-up questions. Also, I think it was important for me personally also to see the other side, because I don't know, there's almost a veil between the service user and the practitioner. So we don't get to see what happens behind the scenes. So that was very eye-opening, what I got to learn from practitioners as well.
Brilliant. And in terms for you, would you say that there were any difficult aspects of doing those interviews from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you heard people saying their issues, saying where they're, shall we say, not doing the best in life. Yeah, it wasn't easy to listen to at times, but I think from out of the interviews, I think it was also cathartic too, even for the person doing the interview. So I think there was some positivity out of it and people getting stuff off their chest.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
I thought what Adam and Cam said was absolutely spot on. I think, their own experiences were really, really insightful, and the questions that they asked and the data that they were able to generate was absolutely first class. It really was. I've been doing this for decades, longer than I care to remember, and they were some of the most insightful, and also in some respects, some of the most heartbreaking interviews as well. The interviews with the staff were terrible in terms of what was coming out. It was so bad that I spoke to a colleague who's doing research on the probation service herself and said, "I'm getting this stuff. Can it all be true?" And they went, "Yep, that's what's happening." So yeah, it was really, your skills were utilized to the maximum in terms of being able to generate data of that kind of power and insightfulness. So well done, guys. That was really, really good stuff.
Lovely. Anita?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that made me think about this is one of the driving points of this research is we're working with you as peer researchers, but it was not about our peer researchers just focusing in interviewing those with like experience. And I think that's so important. It's not just that it wasn't just, in inverted commas, just practitioners. You were interviewing those policymakers, those other stakeholders too. And I think it's that flattening of that power relationship amongst the research team. We all interviewed and spoke with every group of people. And I think it is not, I think that's often the way I've seen research been put together where the peer researchers just talk to one cohort. And I think that's what this project is actually also teasing out methodologically, the value of having these insights across the piece. And that was something I think we were very keen to tease out from the beginning. I think all too often lived experience gets pigeonholed.
I think there's something about embracing our own lived experiences as well, so professional as well as personal. But what I loved about this was the openness from the team. We were a team in equal measure that contributed to the interview schedules, to the delivery of those interviews. But I guess there's also something to say about our analysis session. So we all went up to London and sat round and just talked a little bit about that data. And I think there's something about having us there as a team the whole way through, really looking at what it actually meant to us and what we saw in that data, because I found that really enlightening. I think, again, Adam and Cam, your insights into it were really clear, and your knowledge of the data is just, I mean, particularly Adam, I know you did an awful lot of the interviews and you did some of the transcriptions, and you got really close to the data, I guess we would say. And I think that's just brilliant. I thought your insights were great, and we have our House of Lords event on the 27th of February, 2024, and we really want to use that as an opportunity where we can not only talk about those findings, but also say, kind of, so what? What are we going to do with this? What can we do with this? And how can we advocate for positive change for people that were once our colleagues or fellow probationers or whatever? So, Anita.
And I think you're also describing an ethos from this project about the outputs in the jargon, what we're going to do with it. It's not just we're all going to be a part of all from the highest level in our world, academic articles to every output. I mean, it's notable the structure we're having for our launch event. The center stage is taken by Adam and Cam. And I think that's really important to us. It's about everybody having a voice.
Yeah. My last question is something around, I guess, if people want to delve into lived experience, if people want to do it well, I'm just keen to hear from all of us, but maybe firstly from Adam and Cam about what do you think makes an excellent lived experience research project? What are the things that you feel, and we may not have achieved some of those things, but from your perspective, what do you think is really important to ensure that you enjoy it and you gain the level of meaning that we really kind of want in research? So, Cam, what do you think?
So I think for me, it's all about collaboration and feeling part of that team and feeling valued and having how can I say, your views and your input. Just basically valued, I think a lot of times or a lot of experiences from people with lived experience is that your input is good up until a point, and then we'll take what you've said and we'll run with that, and we'll go and use that for our benefit without you feeling part of that process. So in prisons, I've done a lot of talks and stuff like that, and I see that there is this pigeonholing in terms of, it's really good to get you guys in to come and do some talks and stuff like that. But in terms of the deeper, I guess, rooted problems, we kind of just get left out of that. If that makes sense, you're good up until a point, but if it's going to go any higher than that, then we'll deal with it. Thank you for your input, and see you later. And that kind of makes people feel unworthy and not good enough. And I didn't feel that in this project. I felt one of the team, I felt included, I felt respected, needed, and the accolades that I've got from the team in terms of the richness of the data, it gave me that sense of belonging and achievement. And I think there's a lot that can be learned from the project of what we've done around this project, because I think that people with lived experience are still not trusted to a level, and people are re working really, really hard to turn their lives around and live a meaningful, positive life. And we've got so many great insights and so many great ideas that just seem to be get ignored. So for me, it was just all a sense of belonging and being part of a really phenomenal project that's got a lot of meaning and can make impact to the people who work in probation and also use the service.
Thank you, Cam. Adam, what about for you?
Yeah, no, with regards to lived experience, yeah, I think it's important to bring your experience, your skills, your knowledge to the table. And I feel I've done that, I feel Cam's done that. Yeah, I feel we've done that. Which helped with the research. And it's also important to be open as well to new ideas. For example, like we talk to a range of people beyond our even lived experience, and we took on board what they said and we navigated around that. So I don't think we were just tunnel visioned in our own lived experience as well.
So we did a little bit of training, didn't we, around, I guess, thematic analysis. We did meetings, all of that kind of stuff. We also offered those kind of debriefs if sessions were tough, or I came along and co-facilitated it with you, and vice versa if we felt that was useful or helpful. Did that stuff, and I guess for the both of you, did that stuff help along the way? Would it be stuff that you would kind of, if some other organization is looking at delivering research, do you think it's an important thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think if I feel it did contribute. We were good researchers. We've been trained to be good researchers and good consultants. My transcribing skills are a lot better now, after all that. So yeah, no, definitely it's helpful. And in future for others, yeah, it can be helpful. Yeah, if
Brilliant.
they need more services, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. What about for you, Anita and Steve? What would you say if you were recommending lived experience researchers? What would you say,
Well,
Anita?
I'm really, really get upset when you get concepts or ideas or approaches that become this year's buzzword and fashion. And I think there has been a degree of that within our sector that everybody feels lived experience must be part of it. But what I am getting more upset about is it becomes a bolt-on. It doesn't, what is important to research when people are developing ideas, when people are thinking of funding it, is to see how it tracks through and how it is integral to this piece of work. And how, it may not, it, there may be parts where it's more engaging with the people with lived experience, but it's not just there to fit in. It's really important. You've got to do it properly. Otherwise, it can be really damaging. And I think that's one of the things that's been really good with this project. We are hopefully, and I'm hearing it from the guys, hopefully walking the walk, not just talking the talk. But don't do it if you can't do it well. I think that's the thing I've come away from this with.
Steve, final thought. What do you think?
Well, I guess I've always tried where to the best of my abilities to be inclusive in terms of getting other people's experiences. We all every project I've been involved in, the research assistants have been named as authors on projects and things like that, unless their part was very, very small.
Thanks, Steve. That's really insightful, and I think we are all just incredibly thankful of the experience that we had on this project. I think it brought with it just lots of enjoyment. We laughed a lot, but also I guess there were a range of emotions like kind of Cam and Adam mentioned. In terms of our event, we are delivering event on the 27th of February, which may have passed by the time you've listened to this. But if you want more information about the project, you can find it on our website, www.growtransformbelong. And if you want to contact us, Anita, Steve, or Jake, or Cam and Adam, please just complete a contact form there, and I can signpost it to the appropriate people that you might want to get in touch with. But please, if you are thinking about doing lived experience research and you want to have a chat with us, whether that's you delivering it or whether it's us coming to support you in that, we feel really passionate about it, and it does enrich a project. We've done previous projects with Anita around gambling culture, and really gaining an awful lot from lived experience researchers. So yeah, we've got lots of experiences that we can maybe share just to help people along the way. Like Anita said, if you're going to do it genuinely, do it right. And we're still learning, but ultimately really happy to share that, which is why we did this kind of podcast. So please get in touch. Please read the findings from the HOPE report, and we'll be absolutely talking on lots of different platforms, articles, publications, blogs around the research, because it's about what we do with this precious knowledge that we've had the privilege of listening to. So thank you for everyone who got involved. Thank you to the funder. Thanks to everyone.